Trotsky, whose original name was Lev Bronstein, born in 1879 and died in 1940, was a rather unusual Bolshevik given his power. He joined the party only in the middle of 1917. Before that, he had been a Menshevik, and then he had been an independent, forming his own group until he joined the Bolshevik Party in July. In fact, as a Menshevik, he once bitterly criticized Lenin. In 1904, he wrote, "Lenin was terribly demagogical, malicious, and he even described him as morally repulsive." Now he was Lenin's closest ally. In fact, as a convert to Bolshevism, he was, as many Bolsheviks themselves would say, among the hardest of the hards. And one sees this especially during the Civil War, when he commanded the Red Army, and during this period, he offered a vigorous defense of the utility and the value of using force, violence, coercion, even terror. Partly he offered a sort of practical argument in favor of terror. In the times of revolution and civil war, when the survival of the regime was at stake, whatever means are expedient are by definition just and usable. Or as he put it, Trotsky put it, who aims at the end cannot reject the means. But in fact, he went further than this moral utilitarianism. If it's useful, it's good. For Trotsky, the end not only justified the means, the end ennobled the means. It made them moral. Thus, for example, he argued that the White Terror and the Red Terror, even if they looked equally violent, were not the same thing from a moral point of view. The White Terror was about preserving oppression, the interests of a few, and therefore it was morally bad. The Red Terror was about emancipating the majority of the population and therefore was good terror. Now, during the 1920s, Trotsky's belief in the creative value of coercion, if the goal is good, that is, was translated into his economic program and into his critique of the course that NEP had adopted. I should say, though, first, that his argument was also shaped by two other key beliefs, beliefs he shared with many communists, including, by the way, Lenin. First of all, Russia's abysmal backwardness was its greatest problem, the greatest obstacle for building socialism. And this meant not just economic backwardness, but also what he described as Russia's fundamental and deep cultural backwardness, the lack of good working habits among workers, too much drinking, too much swearing, too much ignorance of the world of ideas, including a superstitious belief in religion, all of which was a sign of how backward the Russian nation still was. Second idea was related to this, namely the central importance of a vanguard. Since the people were too backward to take charge, to emancipate themselves, the vanguard, the state and the party and its leaders, had to take the lead. Now, these ideas about backwardness and leadership and coercion shaped his criticisms of the mainstream party policies during NEP. These same arguments were made by many other Bolsheviks who became known collectively as the left within the movement. First of all, he had economic criticisms. To overcome Russia's backwardness, industrialization must be put on the top of the agenda. And this requires long-term economic planning, and that requires capital investment that had to be accumulated by the state in order to build up this economy through planning. This, to get the money to invest, to build up industry, requires squeezing the private sector. And the way the private sector had to be squeezed was through high taxes, high industrial prices, all set by the state, low wages, controlled by the state, and low investment in consumer goods in order to invest in industry. In other words, the only way to overcome Russia's backwardness and create the foundation for building a happy, free, socialist society is through an activist, intrusive economic policy by the state. Trotsky, though, didn't just limit his criticisms to economics. He also felt, as many others did, that the party's authoritarianism and bureaucratization within itself was harmful to socialism. And his critique was very sweeping. He complained about the tendency developed during the Civil War to appoint party leaders at the local level, party secretaries who became local dictators. He called for mass initiative and participation in party affairs. He called for party members to change their very style and culture, to develop a better habit of being free to express their views, of independent thought. He denounced what he called yes men, became normal within the party, and remind party members that a Bolshevik's not just a disciplined person, but a person, these are his words, who forges a firm opinion of his own and defends it courageously and independently.